Tallahassee Talk with Brian Cerny. Good morning, everybody. Glad you're with me here on this Saturday. We are pleased to have Dr. Lynn Wicker with us talking about her new book, and Simon Anderson, futurist and author. He will be with us for a new segment, and I'll be replaying an interview I did with Eric Barron, FSU's president, here a few months ago. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with the beautiful custom shower enclosure from Widen Glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style. Call Widen Glass today, 222-5781. Or chat online with one of their service professionals at widenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N, Widen, the best name in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Going green just got easier with high-performance window film from Truck and Car Concepts.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty, owner of Truck and Car Concepts. We have over 18 years' experience. Our sun control films eliminate 79% of the heat gains and 99.9% of the UV rays to prevent fading.
Use less energy and save money with professionally installed high-performance window film from Truck and Car Concepts. One block east of Weems Road on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800.
So here we are on another wonderful Saturday in Tallahassee. The cooler weather has finally arrived. We got football. It's an away game, but hey, Florida State plays tonight. And yes, Mr. Winston, as far as we know, will be out on the field doing what he does so very well. A lot of controversy, of course, in relation to Jameis Winston and Florida State football, Florida State athletics, the public outcry and national attention on all the wrong things. Most folks apparently have thrown him under the bus along the way. Facebook friends of mine saying, I'm so over him, or, you know, he should be eliminated from the team or banned for the season or whatever. So not a whole lot of love for old Jameis out there. We're going to talk about that. Lynn Wicker is with us today. She is an author, an educator, a motivational speaker, a life coach, certified life coach with the John Maxwell's training. For those of you who follow such things, well, Maxwell is celebrated around the world for his skills in training others, and himself being a trainer and leader and coach and such. So Dr. Wicker has written this book, her latest, called Raising Kids That Succeed. And we're going to talk with her not only about the book and her own life experiences, but then how it is that we reply or respond when someone that we've entrusted, we've believed in, fails us. You know, you can say what you care to about Jameis Winston or Jimbo Fisher or Florida State football or your president, your legislator. I mean, people in leadership, especially those people who operate in lives that are fractured because they have their public and then their private lives to deal with, often can disappoint us. And when they do, their misgivings and their misdoings are what they are. So if you want to be critical of somebody because they did a bad thing, well, certainly you're justified. And we should all say, yes, there are rules for much of what we do in life. But then again, we break the rules, all of us. And when we do break those rules, yes, there are consequences. What should those be? That takes us down a path that is not my business here today. because I'm more interested in knowing of my response. What does this say about me? Why does it bother me so much? What pride or stake do I have in this? Is it the money? Is it the public notice? Is it the the identification with a brand or a team or a school? Does this somehow spill over on me? I don't know. I don't know the answers to those things, but I do know that the question is presented. And I mean, I'll tell you straight up, I'm the father of four, been married 35 years, have broken lots of hearts along the way, have disappointed, and I have been disappointed and had my heart broken. Sure. Yeah, that's how it goes. But yet I find there's something very redeeming about someone who says, you messed up. You've got an opportunity to turn this thing around, turn yourself around. And if you listen to Lynn Wicker long enough, you'll find out that the answers are really inside of you. You can find those, and she's done so for herself. And now she's helping other folks do the same. In this book, Raising Kids That Succeed is aimed at parents, obviously, but it can be applied equally to people in positions of leadership, people who occupy roles that require of them the kinds of skills and leadership potential that they may not even realize they have. So I think, for my part, that I look at a guy like Jameis Winston, and I dare say that, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, nobody asked, what kind of man is this? What kind of person are we dealing with? No, they didn't. They looked at his ability to score points. They looked at his ability to play football. Come on. And, you know, they said, go out and win us a national championship. And he did. Go out and be undefeated. He did that. Go out and win the Heisman Trophy. Well, he did that too. And I think there's a huge disconnect between where he is publicly and where he is on that football field and where he is privately and personally. Clearly, I think you're dealing with somebody who just really doesn't get it, doesn't understand at some point why everybody's so upset. You can throw him under the bus if you want to, but I think you're better off if you take him, you know, as I think his coaching, his coaches have done in saying, hey, take him under your wing and help him be the man that he is. Certainly Charlie Ward has said as much this week. And Charlie says, you know, he said, he's my son. He's one of my kids. And because your kid screws up, well, what do you do? Well, yeah, I met a lady several months ago at a conference who won't allow her son to live in the house. He has to stay outside in a tent in the backyard. Okay, well, that's one way of dealing with it, I suppose. But I don't think you really help people grow that way. And I'm glad to have Lynn Wicker here today, Dr. Wicker, to help us understand that even better. We also have another good and able author. Simon Anderson will be with us for this new feature that we've entitled Future Now. And if you know Simon Anderson or you've listened to him before on the show as a futurist and author, his eyes are set on those, especially those technological changes and innovations that are impacting culture, American culture, and let's say civilization, and how that plays into the economic, educational, medical, political, let's call it governmental aspects of our lives, the various systems that we all participate in, that affect us and that we affect. His forecasting then of the future that is now is quite thrilling in my mind and can even be a bit scary. So we'll be looking forward to that here. And then I'm going to take the moment to recall and replay for you an interview that we had with President Eric Barron while he was still with us, FSU president, and had a great conversation on that day when he was able to spend some time not long before his announcement that he was heading off to Penn State. And I think you'll find his remarks quite timely, in as much as we've seen the election of our new president, Forest State's president, Mr. Thrasher, who is now president of Florida State University. And with that, there have been those critics who have said, this isn't the right guy for the job. But after it was all said and done, I think the vote was, 10-2 or something, or 8-2 something. Anyway, overwhelming majority of those folks at that table voted in favor of his election. So we have a new Florida State University president. We'll have Eric Barron talking with us a little bit about Florida State now and where it was even 10, 20, 30 years ago. He was a student here as well. I think you'll find that quite informative. And hopefully all of this will kind of tie together at some point. And I trust that you'll stay with us through the next 2 hours. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Remember, we love to talk about Tallahassee. That's what we're all about. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with the beautiful custom shower enclosure from Witten Glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up. With style. Call Witten Glass today, 222-5781, or chat online with one of their service professionals at wittenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N, Witten. The best name in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Now, here's Simon Anderson with Future Now.
You are listening to the first edition of Future Now with futurist Simon Anderson. Now, in each segment, we'll discuss a different future-related topic, whether it's something in the news or something that someone writes in about or just an interesting topic that I feel like talking about that day. Now, today we have a great topic for the first Future Now, and that's the future of food. Now, the reason I'm talking about this today and that I chose the future of food to start off with is that after more than a year since I pre-ordered a new food replacement, it finally showed up in the mail, and a lot of people have been asking about it. First of all, let's start off with the name of this food replacement. The name of it is Soylent. Now, if you're a digital native, you probably don't know what that means, but if you're a digital immigrant, if you're like 30-ish or older, you probably associate that with the Charlton Heston movie, Soylent Green, which is this green chunk of food, was actually made out of people. Now, I'm sorry if I spoiled the movie for you if you haven't seen it, but it has been out for about 30 years. So anyways, this has nothing to do with people. I assure you there are no people-related ingredients at all in Soylent. And the way Soylent got started is, I think the name was probably a joke by the founder. He's a young guy. He's actually probably about 20 or 21 years old. He's an engineer in California. And he had a startup out there that failed. And he was eating some rotten food. He's pretty much living on pizza and ramen noodles. And he was thinking, man, there's got to be a better way to feed yourself, to get yourself good nutrients. And if you're going to the bathroom, obviously, a lot of what you eat, your body doesn't even need. It's just passing through you. So there's got to be some way to get just the nutrients. So he started experimenting and trying different things and mixing different minerals and proteins together and learning more about it. And he realized there really wasn't anything good in the market. There were some protein shakes and different things, but nothing really what he's looking for. And when you're dealing with, you know, pure minerals and pure vitamins and things, it's easy to miss a decimal or something and kind of screw yourself up. And he did that a couple times. He actually gave himself a heart arrhythmia and some other issues. I think he messed up his magnesium content or something. But then he made a crowdfunding campaign like so many young people do these days, and they have a new idea or new product, and it got over $1 million. And I actually signed up for that. That's why I was on the pre-order for so long. And he realized he was really onto something with this food replacement, total meal replacement. And so he was able to hire some people, like FDA nutritionists and different experts to help him create this product. And really what it is, it's just, it comes in bags of powder along with little vials of oil to get your omega-3s that you mix in all together. You can mix a full day, one pouch is one day's worth of meals, three meals. You mix it all together in the container that they send you. And it's this beige liquid. It's not green, like Soylent Green. It's beige liquid, but it doesn't really taste like anything. It's just kind of a sort of grainy, maybe a hint of like a doughy-ish, very light doughy-ish taste, but for the most part, doesn't really taste like anything, which is great because if it tasted even really excellent, you'd get really sick of it. If you're having this two or three times a day, you'd get really sick of it no matter how good it is. You know, if you think of your favorite food and you had it every single day, I bet you wouldn't want to have that every single day. So it is good that it doesn't really taste like anything. And when I first read about Soylent over a year ago, I was really excited about that because while I recognize I'm in an excellent position to be able to have food every day and have choices, I also was looking for a better way because when you're working very hard, and if you're working for yourself or if you're working for someone else, and you're trying to get through your day and all of a sudden it's lunchtime, you're starting to get very hungry. I know for me, I get, you know, they say hangry when you get kind of grumpy and I almost get shaky, like I have to eat right now. Then you have to spend a half an hour, an hour either baking something or cooking something or going out to a restaurant to buy something or ordering food in. And that was really a hassle for me. And again, I said, I do recognize that I'm in a very lucky position to have food all the time whenever I want it. And most Americans are in that position. But I really was looking for a better way. And so when I read about Soylent, I thought, this guy, that's exactly what I want to do here. And so that's why I pre-ordered. And apparently so did tens of thousands of other people, which is why the wait was so long. So far, it's been fantastic. I've had it for about 2 weeks now. And you can have it for every single meal, but I'm choosing just to have it for breakfast and lunch because eating is not always about putting nutrients in your body. There's also a very social aspect to eating as well. So sometimes you're eating to be with friends or to go to a meeting or something. It's not just because you need to put nutrients in your body. So I'm just eating on for breakfast and lunch, and then I'll have dinner with my wife or with friends. And you can change it up whatever you want to. It's very interchangeable. You don't have to always have it the same amount of time each day. And so far, the results have been pretty fantastic. One thing, like I mentioned, I get so hungry that I really have to find something to eat right away and spend time doing that. With Soylent, it's not like that at all. And if you get the same way, I think you really appreciate this. If I need to go get some lunch, that involves me either if I'm at my co-working space or if I'm at home in my home office or wherever I am, I basically just have like a 20-ounce bottle of Soylent. I just drink it. Takes less than a minute. I'm right back to work. There's no 2:30 feeling like the Red Bull commercials. There's no sugar rush. There's no tiredness in the afternoon. You're just completely productive and very focused because you don't have these changing sugar levels in your blood and everything, which is fantastic. I've also noticed a lot less dishes around my house because you don't have to use dishes to cook at least two meals a day for my wife and I. Buying far less groceries, and it's just so easy to make and to clean up. You just rinse out the bottle and the jug and fill it up again. And everyone always asks about, well, how much does this cost? Is this really expensive? And that's another great thing too. It's only about $3 per meal if you get a monthly subscription. $3 per meal is not a lot of money. You think of what the opportunity cost is there. I mean, you can't even get a meal at like a fast food joint for $3 unless you just get like a couple dollar menu items. And this is so much better for your body than fast food. There are side effects. It's not all perfect. One of the more talked about side effects is that when you think of having all these new fibers and huge amounts of protein in your body twice a day that your body's not used to, your stomach doesn't have the enzymes to deal with that. So Soylent recommends that the first week or so that you try Soylent, you only have one meal a day of Soylent, just in the interest of safety of you and those around you and your household pets, because you can be quite gassy if you don't. Your stomach does not know how to deal with all that protein and fiber all of a sudden coming at it from nowhere. So if you start having one meal a day, your stomach starts to get those enzymes, and after that you can build up to it. And if you do it like that, it really won't be a problem. Another effect that I really hadn't anticipated is my jaw. When you think of how much you eat all the time, how much movement your jaw has, if you take out 2/3 of your meals, your jaw is being used way less than it was used before. And it starts to get really sore. So in the afternoon, I'll be like, man, my jaw is really sore. Why is my jaw so sore? And I've had to chew gum a couple times, even though I don't really like gum, just to kind of give my jaw that activity. So that's kind of a weird side effect I hadn't anticipated. And of course, the number one side effect that everyone asked about is weight loss. They think, wow, is this a weight loss product? And it's not marketed at all like a weight loss product. And I think that Soylent is smart to do that because there's so much negative connotation with weight loss products out there. You know, these get slim quick and get rid of belly fat and all these things that don't work. But a side effect of this is certainly weight loss. I myself have lost about 7 pounds in a couple of weeks now. I really wanted to lose about 15 total, which really wasn't my number one goal with Soylent, but it is a good side effect because you're not putting anything in your body that you don't need. There's only sugars and all these carbohydrates and things you don't need. It's really just only what your body needs. And even for dinner, I find myself eating a much smaller dinner because I'm full. I don't really need to have additional food, even though I've only had 2 Soylent meals. And I think there are significant impacts here for starvation and poverty. When you think of people in developing countries, if they're starving, it is really difficult to get good food to them. With Soylent, it has a shelf life of over 2 years, does not have to be refrigerated. You could take an entire ship, send it over there, a couple water purifiers, and you have people who went from eating horribly to having a very full and complete diet. In fact, eating far better than a lot of people who are really wealthy, having steak dinners and all these fancy restaurants. Soylent is just one of many new future foods, and we have lab-grown meat now and all these convincing meal replacements made from these different vegetable proteins. So I'm really excited to see what happens in the future of food, and especially see Soylent version 2.0 and see all these different companies, you know, when they try to respond to make their own versions of Soylent and see what that's like. So thank you for listening to this first edition of Future Now with futurist Simon Anderson, and I'll be back next time to talk about another future topic. If you have a topic that you'd like to hear about, you can contact me at my new website, which is ventureforesight.com. And on the contacts page, choose radio topics and feedback. And lastly, I'm going to leave you with this. The future belongs to those who create it.
Go with the pros at SS Performance Group. Today's engines demand the highest precision from highly skilled technicians able to get the most from your car and keep it in top performance. That's SS Performance Group. Foreign and domestic, SS Performance Group is legendary among car owners who demand more.
I'm Ernest Sims. I know about going pro. For your car's best performance, go with the pros at SS Performance Group.
In their new location, 431 Capital Circle, Southwest, call 575-0259, online at ssperformancegroupllc.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Thanks for staying with me, folks. We are having a great show today. Simon Anderson being with us. Dr. Lynn Wicker is coming up in the second hour to talk about raising kids that succeed, and we're going to talk a lot about motivation and life skills and that sort of thing. As you well know, John Thrasher is our new FSU president, and it gave me pause to think about an interview I did now about a year and a month ago, last August, August of 13, and talked with then FSU president Eric Barron. His remarks were timely and quite informative and motivating then, and I think even more poignant now. So I'm going to replay for you a portion of that conversation with Dr. Eric Barron.
So we're talking with President Barron, talking about the early days in this fall term. Summer is still trying to hang on to some of those high temperatures, but there is a bit of coolness out there, and it's been kind of a pleasant week for us, I think, in this first week of the term, and students getting back into it, and President and his wife,
Molly,
that hosted this lovely barbecue for, you know, 5,000 kids that showed up wearing their color-coded T-shirts relative to their particular college. Great idea. Maybe we ought to do that at the football games, you know, where like each college wear its colors or something. Who knows?
It would be interesting.
Wouldn't that?
I've noticed that they're a hot commodity among alumni. They want to have their
college's
T-shirt.
Now, there you go, see?
And
aftermarket.
You know, the other thing is I got the deans to wear them.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
And they were happy to.
Yeah.
But when I'm out on the road talking with alumni, and when I was a dean, the alumni would say, you know, I can't believe the dean is at my house.
Yeah.
If I spoke to the dean when I was a student, that meant I was in trouble.
Yep.
And so I never met the dean.
Okay,
so we do the same thing. Meet the dean on the first day.
That's clever.
And so changes makes them all human.
It does make it for, I think, for a lot of, especially students who are freshmen coming in, and maybe even for transfer students, if they've done a couple of years at a smaller institution, a community college, something of that nature, and to find themselves in the sea of Florida State University, that seems to me to be a great way of connecting with them. And you're a connector. You like, it seems, to connect with various groups and people.
I work hard at it.
You and I met at the Village Square meeting that happened here a couple of months back. And I noticed in that setting, you were there to find out more. You weren't there as much as it seemed to me as a presenter, as again, that data gatherer. I think you were really trying to get a feel for what is going on. And I want to know what you think. How are we different, let's say, in 2013 than we were in 1973 when you were an undergrad? There's a question for you.
That's an interesting question. And you know, we might start by asking how alert to the Tallahassee was I as a student.
Yeah.
Because you tend to have your own little world.
Don't we?
The world of your major, the world of your, you know, group of friends. And What was Tallahassee? Did it have food that was inexpensive that I could afford to eat?
Priorities of the day.
Yeah.
But that speaks to me of current realities. We're no different in that way. We all have our own little bailiwick that we have mm-hmm. to attend to, right? Our little domain. And yet, here you are responsible for not just those larger administrative tasks, mm-hmm. not the least of which has to do with fiscal responsibility and budgets and distribution of funds and acquisition of funds, all right. that goes, you know, so you're in your sales mode over here trying to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like Papa to a lot of people. You're the guy who's going to kind of reach out and, come on, get outside of your little office square here and think about what's going on across the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a challenge.
It is, and actually it's even broader than that, and you can go back to it, to being a student. When I left, it took me a long time to come back.
Huh.
And it was only for a specific purpose, and in fact, it's sad to think about it. The second time I came back was to interview to be president.
Huh.
Now I spend a lot of time sitting there thinking about how do I get my alumni to come back? How do I get them to connect? Because the more connected they are, the more they feel this is still their place and home,
yeah.
the more likely they are to be able to support us. And it doesn't matter whether that's a letter to a legislator or whether it's a gift that helps a student be successful. And so exactly, in some ways, I'm focused exactly on why it is I didn't.
Yeah, and that's a theme that I'm hearing repeated among various groups that would find themselves, I think, allied with you, mm-hmm. Like KCCI or Town and Gown, now Imagine Tallahassee,
mm-hmm.
each in their own way saying, let's find our place in the world. Let's find our sense of place, that Tallahassee is more than a academic way station, that we, in fact, we are a destination for mm-hmm. the long term. People come mm-hmm. here, live, work, play, raise their families, contribute. That means that they might not always have an idea in mind initially, but there's something compelling about being at Tallahassee, being a part of this community.
As a destination or because of our personality.
Yeah.
That it feels good to be here in Tallahassee. And I think what we're watching is, as much as we love football, as much as I love football, it's not enough.
Right.
It's not enough to have those seven weekends. And
and
we even know that television has made it easier to sit there with some beverage and a bowl of popcorn and watch and do the instant replay.
Yep.
And so that's not enough.
So there goes the idea of College Town and the Gain Street revitalization that's part of seeing in real brick-and-mortar terms, there's a destination for you.
And a real civic center with different types of events.
Yeah.
And everything in between. I mean, I call it the Madison Mile, to go from the Civic Center to the stadium to sort of visualize whatever big event is occurring that you spill out into this district of Gaines and Madison, and you find there the kinds of shops that are fun and restaurants that are engaging, and it becomes part of that experience, as well as the types of events and activities that you have in the town.
Some have been critical in my hearing about the viability beyond those seven weekends, that the rest of the year, I don't know, does College Town have the ability to reach out to the locals, to reach out to tourists and be, as productive as, maybe not, but at least to survive until football season.
I mean, part of it, my view of this stems from being in a lot of college towns.
Yeah.
And so if you're in Boulder, Colorado, and you're on the Pearl Street Mall, it is the place to go.
Huh.
And people are walking, and they got their kids with them, and they're getting an ice cream cone, or they're going to a restaurant. And it is a kind of a nexus, and it plays off the college, but it plays off more than the college.
Okay.
Just because of the feel of the place. And there are several places like that.
Yeah.
And Tallahassee has nothing like that.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, no matter what, we can do a lot better than we're doing.
So it's worth the investment, and you agree with the idea that the whole Cascades Park development is an expression of that same point of view.
I think if we go from Cascade Park and connect the Capitol with, I would say, a bricked-in walkway,
yeah,
by the Civic Center, refurbished with a hotel and different types of stores, all the way to the stadium down to the end of College Town, I think you will have something that is a tremendous draw.
Interesting. Talking with President Eric Barron here about Florida State University and at large, how our community is changing, if not in substance, certainly in our conversation about the future. And groups like Imagine Tallahassee are a part of that initiative to help us engage one another more meaningfully. And we're delighted to have Dr. Barron with us as we continue. You stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400, because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Now we're talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
And so it happens that we're talking about the things that have transpired here in the last couple of years. Imagine Tallahassee, KCCI, the Town and Gown efforts. A lot of times I think about what remains as kind of I don't want to over-dramatize this, but there's a kind of disconnect, I think, between academic communities, Florida State University, Florida A&M particularly. Does that concern you? Or do you share that idea?
It definitely concerns me, because I think this is a card we can play. If we can advance the potential of what a FAMU, a TCC, and a Florida State can offer together, then I think that's another type of game changer. I mean, I look at it from the viewpoint that if you take those three, can you name any course of study that's not offered by one of the three of us? I think it's actually very difficult to do. Why isn't that a card played with attracting businesses into this community? Put us at the table with someone you're trying to attract to the community. And literally, the three presidents have said, whatever your workforce need is, you tell us.
Yeah.
Between the three of us, we can figure out a way to deliver it. Either if we don't have it, we can figure out a way to do it. Now, I think we have it, but we may have some adjustments, because maybe we're going to be doing computer science and engineering, and there's a piece of that that we're not strong at. But if it means something to this community and we care about it, why shouldn't we go recruit that? It makes our program stronger and then creates an access for our students into a company. And so we've made a mistake in not creating a strong partnership between the three institutions.
I see. How are you personally trying to make that happen? What are you doing?
So literally by having the three presidents sit down together over dinner. For a different event. I mean, we just did this for our student veterans, because we all play a role in educating veterans that are coming back.
Yeah.
And so, and we created this brochure called Elevate, Educate Your Business,
huh.
where we, the three of us, make this pledge on workforce.
Huh.
And I think if we do those things and we're successful, then we'll stop worrying about, okay, who's doing what and why can't I do that? And instead, you know, look at each other in the eye and say, okay, how do we do this better? And quite frankly, I think this also dovetails with how the community evolves
uh-huh.
in terms of us doing incubators and spinning off businesses and whether that same area is now that goes from the capital to through to College Town becomes an opportunity for entrepreneurial space as well.
And you have echoed that repeatedly, the Entrepreneurial University. Tell us about that vision.
Okay, a lot of times you think universities build big glass boxes and says, here we go.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is change the culture of the institution. So, you know, I can give you a couple of examples. Colleges of business have hundreds and hundreds of students. They don't need any more. And so they tend to close themselves off to other majors. We put faculty lines into the College of Business explicitly to open the doors to non-majors. Start to imagine the benefit of any major having a minor in business.
Huh.
You know, my musicians have to be entrepreneurs. If they can't fill the house, they're going to play an instrument for fun. They are not going to do it for a living. If they can't fill the house, if they can't market themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're an engineer, imagine the value to a company if you also have a little bit of business sense. You're not going to bring the same ideas and thoughts forward if you're thinking about the company's bottom line and how to make that company successful as well as engineering.
Yeah.
Or look at all, you know, quite frankly, it comes from the fact that every time I go meet an alum and they're highly successful, I realize, well, they're a history major. Well, they're an English major.
Yeah.
But they created companies, created wealth, and off they went.
Yeah.
And so why shouldn't we help students do this from the beginning?
Yeah.
So we have actually six pieces to that puzzle. That's the first one.
What are the other five?
Okay. So one of the things that we're doing is trying to create partnerships between business and programs. So we have something called Chempreneurs, which matches chemistry grad students. They have the ideas with business undergraduates. They want to take an idea to the marketplace, but they may not have the idea. The chemistry person may have an idea, but no sense of taking it to the marketplace. So we're actually partnering in this way. We'd like our students in different colleges to be taught by an entrepreneur. So now imagine, again, the engineer, but the engineer has gone out and spun off companies and created patents and licensing. Now he comes back.
Like Dr. Van Landingham.
And he comes back and teaches at Florida State University.
Okay.
Now, rubbing elbows with our students and our faculty is an engineer, but he's also an entrepreneur. So now this provides opportunity for faculty and students to start to think about ideas and say, what about this? How about this? And they may even learn to take some of those business classes from someone who's done it as opposed to going to the college.
It seems to me that Jim Moran Institute
a wonderful success.
Has carried that torch for a while.
So we want to put that torch in every single college that wants. Right now I have nine deans that want to hire today an entrepreneur in residence. They're the first ones that got in.
One of the friends of our show here, longtime friend Ron Frazier, entrepreneur in residence there in College of Business with JMI, and for his part, has in my mind has done a great job in not only representing what the Jim Moran Institute purports to offer, but has put feet on the ground. We've had a number of interns who have come our way through that whole program who themselves, if they lack awareness, are full of enthusiasm. They are determined that they can do this. And they all end up leaving at the end of the term by looking at me and saying, wow, we never realized what it really takes
to do, yeah,
to do this.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
If that's the assertion, if that's their conclusion, I say A+. We just won.
Yeah.
because they got that in their heads. Okay. It doesn't happen magically by itself.
No, yeah. It doesn't.
Yeah.
We also want to create more funds for competitions for startups.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have the idea, you can take it so far, but then you're going to need a little resources. And not only that, you begin to incentivize people to put their ideas on the table.
Right, right.
You'd be amazed at how many ideas you hear about that faculty talk about, and they give away the intellectual rights to it by talking, sharing it with everybody, as opposed to having...
Got to have the NDA in your pocket.
Right, that's right. So we also... The fifth point is we would like to have a platform with a defined format that we can open up Florida State to angel investors and venture capitalists. So and have it branded Florida State, so that person can say, "This student is ready. Their business is ready. They've done all the things they should do. Help them launch their company."
It's a fantastic initiative. In fact. It is an example, folks, I think, of what we can imagine happening as we imagine Tallahassee, and Dr. Barron helps us imagine how Florida State University is critical in that whole development. My conversation last August with then-president of Florida State University, Eric Barron. You are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me. ABC News is up ahead, and coming up after that, we'll have Dr. Lynn Wicker joining us.
July 9, 1755, near Fort Duquesne, now the city of Pittsburgh, a 23-year-old British officer leads his troops in battle during the French and Indian War. Though fired upon repeatedly, this young lieutenant colonel remains unharmed to the disbelief of the native warriors. 15 years later, a respected Indian chief sat over a council fire with this same man. As he told all those listening, the Great Spirit protects this man and guides his destiny. He will become the chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as the founder of a mighty empire. The man was George Washington, who went on to become the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army and the first president of the United States. This inspiring message of freedom, brought to you by Southern Smiles Family Dentistry, providing comprehensive dental care. Call 875-3908.
She is the author of a recently published book entitled Raising Kids That Succeed. She is a certified speaker, a trainer, and success coach who has spent the last 30 years in public education, holding various leadership positions in K-12 and higher education. Dr. Lynn Wicker is an international teacher of transformational leadership principles and uses her adding value lifestyle to connect with people, creating life transformations. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lynn Wicker. How are you?
Thank you. I'm great. I'm so glad to be here with you.
And I read that so well, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I feel accomplished now. You see? So when I'm in the presence of greatness here, then I get a little tense because I know I'm probably going to screw up. But is that not a good way of segueing into the point of, it seems to me, the point of this book, and even the larger realm of your work, that we all screw up?
Yeah, absolutely. Where would we be without knowing that we've had failures? And my whole idea in being an educator for 30 years is I've got a front row seat to all kinds of people stubbing their toes, kids and teachers and administrators and parents. And it's just been a real passion of mine to help families.
Yeah.
And so out of that, I decided, you know, I just really need to put this in the form of a book. And I know that it's really going to have a positive impact on some
And clearly families. This wasn't something that just kind of popped into your head. This is 30 years of blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And from what I understand, this is the first publication, but you've got a couple of more that are on the drawing board there, is that right?
Right, absolutely. Right. But you know, it's all the same theme, and I think that that theme is we're people before we're any role that we have in life. And you know, that seems so simplistic, but we miss it, don't we?
We're Why do we miss it?
You know, I think it's because we take on that role, whatever it is, parent or teacher or school leader, whatever that role is, and we think, okay, I'm that now. And there's no real manual that comes with any of those roles, because what we bring to the role is who we are as people. And one of my favorite things to help when I'm coaching someone is, you cannot give what you do not have. So we have to have that inside of us, who we are as people first, before we can ever have any kind of impact on whatever it is, that the role that we're looking to hold.
When you look about our community here in Tallahassee, and you think of those people, whoever happens to come to mind, but people who are in positions of leadership, right? Some of them are well-known, highly publicized. Some are not necessarily, but yet they occupy a significant position, perhaps, in education, in government, in industry, business, whatever. Is there a sort of common thread there from one of these roles to another? You talk about being the person first.
Right.
How do they go about that process of filling out that leadership role, do you think?
Yeah. So my mentor is internationally acclaimed leadership guru, John Maxwell. And what I've learned from John is that leadership is not position. It's not power. It's not a title. So those things aren't even in the equation. It's really more about influence. And he says that leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less. So when you have influence over someone, you are a leader. If you just happen to have a title that goes along with that, that's great. But it's really about, can you influence anyone? And the way that you influence someone is you add value to them, right? So you touch their heart before you ask for a hand. You give before you get. You know, there's, we kind of know that. You have to invest in people before they're going to be willing to follow you or hear you, even give you a shot at something. So it really doesn't matter what leadership title you might have, government, education, healthcare. It doesn't matter.
Or in keeping with this book, Raising Kids, parent.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. And which, what parent doesn't want more influence over their kids, right?
Right. Well, so that means then that as a parent, I have to get past what might be the natural inclination, even the biological connections here. Because there's a sort of inherent affection. I remember when we had our first child, and I mean, I was in my late 20s. I didn't like babies, but I liked this baby.
Right.
Because this baby is my baby.
Absolutely.
And it was astounding to me. How could this be happening? You know, I'm a tough guy, but man, that little baby transformed me. Now, what I then began to realize is that those sort of natural, like we'll call them inclinations, were challenged by the fact this baby didn't do the things that I wanted this baby to do.
Oh, exactly.
So is that the point then?
Yeah.
I have to grow into this.
Yeah. And grow. I mean, wow, that is the word, grow. And there is no parent manual. I say in the book that, you know, we often kid and we kind of use it as our excuse to do dumb things as parents is that, well, you know, it didn't come out with a manual. And that kind of lets us off the hook sometimes. But the truth is that we are bringing a huge manual with us because we're bringing all of our experiences from our own childhood, our own adolescence, anything that we learned. And the really sneaky kind of cunning part of it all is it's in our subconscious. It's in our other than conscious mind. And so I talk about in the book about we pass along things to our kids.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Exactly. I call it autopilot parenting. There's another popular phrase out there now, same thing, conscious parenting. It's the same kind of concept. But I think autopilot, we get that we just do things. I know I've shared in trying to explain what happens with this, how many of us have driven several miles home from work tired, and when we got home and pulled into the garage, we can't remember the drive home. Hmm. Well, who got you there? You know, our subconscious is a phenomenal thing.
Yes.
But that's a little scary to think that we weren't even really kind of present in the car. Our mind was somewhere else. And we can sometimes find ourselves parenting in the same way.
Well, I can testify to that because my wife and I have now 4 adult offspring. My third oldest son, there are segments of his early childhood that I don't recall. I mean, genuinely, and I've already acknowledged this with him, you know, because I'll say, when were you doing that?
Right.
Well, Dad, I was doing this then. And I'll look back at that segment of my life when my life was so tied in with my career and my work and business and providing and all of those sorts of things, right?
Right, sure.
And had 3 other children as well.
Right.
So I brought to the table all sorts of deficiencies right along with all of those other good things.
Sure.
I guess we all do.
We all do, right.
So, folks, if you've tuned in to find out what it is we're talking about today, well, we've got Dr. Lynn Wicker with us. She's sharing some pithy ideas, some very useful nuggets out of the book, Raising Kids That Succeed. Stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
For over 40 years, Marvin McFate has been building houses and helping families build their dreams. He's helped Tallahassee grow, too, by building a company based on 3 simple ideas: dedication, tradition, and innovation. It's a company dedicated to building homes that'll last for generations with time-tested methods and a clear understanding of how to make homes more efficient with modern innovations. Today, Vanguard North stands as a symbol of the best in home building and home renovation. So, here's to you, Tallahassee, and all the families that Vanguard North has had the privilege to serve. Thanks for letting them share in your dreams. You keep on growing, and they'll be here to help you do it with homes you love to live in today and for all your tomorrows. Vanguard North, home builders and renovators, on the web at vanguardnorth.com. Marvin McFate, he's a bit of a dreamer. He's okay with that.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're talking with Dr. Lynn Wicker about Raising Kids That Succeed, this book that is recently published. It's available at Amazon.com. So you go to Amazon. And the subtitle here is How to Help Your Kids Overcome Life's Limitations and Think Their Way to Lifelong Successes. And then she asks the question, do you find yourself feeling confused and frustrated as you struggled to parent your child? Is that really a question? That's rhetorical, right? So you have tried different parenting techniques, yet the results are the same. Not working. So why read another book about parenting? Because this is not just another book about parenting. And she goes on to say that this, the real focus is about us, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where we start from.
Yeah.
When I come to the whole enterprise, we talked in our first portion here about leadership and how those qualities that are required of us, those skills that are called upon, we may not find within us. You're saying, well, they're there and they need to be brought forward, even the stuff that you may not be real pleased with.
Right, right.
Right? So if my parent was abusive or neglectful or alcoholic or just stupid, and maybe they were struggling too, how does that work? How do I make use of that?
Yeah. So the first step is to be aware of those things, that they're a part of who you are, who I am. Mm. We are the product of all of those things, and it's just kind of sitting there dormant. And then we have the child, and all of a sudden, all of those memories come rushing back. Well, how did mom handle this? How did mom handle that? What did dad do when faced with this situation? And whether we loved the answers When we go into autopilot mode, those become our teachers. Those become our role model actions, attitudes, thoughts, behaviors. All of those things come streaming back, and we find ourselves, did that just come out of my mouth? My mom used to say that, you know, and that's where it comes from. So it's first of all being aware of those things and realizing that it created our belief system. And our belief system is going to drive every action and decision that we take. So when we first have to think about that inventory of our belief system, you know, why did I say that? Do I believe that? Is that a truth for me that I'm willing to embrace and instill in my own children? So I've found in my own life and in talking with so many parents in this process, it's about self-discovery and really being willing to ask yourself those questions about, do I want that to continue to be a part of my story?
I hear you. If I find that there are parts of my story that need help, that maybe need, I don't know what, correction or healing or rethinking, what do I do now?
Yes. So in the book, I talk about this idea of our beliefs that limit us, limiting beliefs. And I give some examples about how do you discover what those are. And there's some really easy examples like I'm not good at math. Or no one in my family has ever gone to college. Those are just some examples. But some are much more cunning and sneaky when they get into our subconscious and they kind of hang out there. And we suddenly realize that there are things like we pass along to our kids this limiting or limitation belief that says, I was never popular, right? I was never liked by a lot of kids
I'm
in
still
middle
not
school.
I'm struggling with that today. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And what we do is, again, you said, how do you deal with it? Well, it's recognizing that it's not a truth. It's not my truth. It's just a limiting belief that I've had for so long. And, you know, kids can tease you on the playground and call you a name and, oh, my goodness, don't let your name be a name that can rhyme with something, right?
Yeah,
so, you know,
right.
Smelly Nelly, you know, you got that in your subconscious to deal with as you grow up.
Yep.
Or maybe you wore glasses, or maybe your teeth weren't exactly the way you'd want them to be. It doesn't matter. Kids typically find the thing that is the most hurtful and point that out to everybody they possibly can. And it's kind of funny and you laugh about it. But as you get older and you become an adult, it's a touchy thing for you. Somebody can mention one of
like
those
a trigger.
Things. Yeah, it's a trigger, exactly.
Yeah.
So being willing to look at those things for what they really are and then breaking the cycle of those things and realizing they've lost their power. They really don't define who you are anymore as a parent. Now you can begin to help your own kids create their own empowered belief system for themselves.
I noted, too, you've made reference to this not only in this book but in some of your other writing. You don't do that solo, do you?
No.
You have to do it within the context of a support team or group or someone else that's either a mentor or a life partner, somebody who can affirm your intentions to get free from this.
Right. Sure.
Stinking
sure.
thinking.
Yeah, call, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. It is a journey, but one well worth it. If you're a parent, your relationships with your kids, your adolescents, and, you know, let's face it, the tween years and getting into middle school age and high school, it's tough. It's definitely one of the toughest jobs around. And when I mentioned earlier about what parent doesn't want to have more influence over their kids, what I've found is that the biggest complaint I've gotten from parents is, you know, my kid used to idolize me when they were in elementary school, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't know who they are anymore. Some space alien came down and grabbed them overnight and replaced them with this other thing, and they're just driving me crazy. Mm-hmm. So how do I use that and balance it out? Mm-hmm. But this idea that it is possible, we don't have to accept the story that you're just going to have this love-hate relationship with your teenagers. It really is possible to go a different direction and create this dialogue. Another reality today, and you just hit on it, is this group effort, this support group. But you know, Brian, a lot of families don't have that. And as a matter of fact, kids are shuttled back and forth between households over the holidays and weekends and things. And so I advise parents, you know, to work with that other parent that doesn't share the household with you and put your differences aside if they're there and work together on this to really make sure that there's a common goal in what you're trying to do to raise successful kids.
Talking with Lynn Wicker here, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on a Saturday morning. Glad you joined us. Stay with us.
Time to check out our buddy Joe over at Truck and Car Concepts. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, what's going on with you guys?
Well, here's the deal. I heard that you were gone all day as you were out tinting a house.
Yes, sir. His customer was having a big heat problem on the west side of the house in the afternoon. We went over, did the estimate, decided to do the east side of the house as well. Let me tell you something. We knocked out 79% of the heat energy, which is going to totally knock down the electricity bill. Not only that, but she had some really nice paintings that were fading out in the living room. 99% ultraviolet ray elimination.
So it would fade out like carpets and drapes and furniture and stuff?
Not only that, but it also fades out those expensive hardwood floors. So window filming the house is nothing but a plus. Like I said, it comes and it takes down the heat energy, and that's, you know, bottom line.
So even though the place is called Truck and Car Concepts, you could throw a house in there too.
We can do houses, planes, trains, or automobiles, man. If it's got glass, we tint it. Truck and Car Concepts. 656-8800. Give us a call.
Whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are on a Saturday in September. The weather has cooled a bit. We got Florida State football tonight playing away. Good time to be in Tallahassee. And we've got our good friend Dr. Lynn Wicker helping us navigate through the uncharted waters of parenting and leadership and life growth experiences and person building and self-discovery and just living life. And my goodness, as I've gotten to know you just a bit, Lynn, you certainly have lived some life experiences. And those experiences seem to me to be quite informative. When I read the things that you've written, when I hear you talk, I get that you're not just kind of coming at us with some book learning. You've lived through it. You've walked through it. You had two sons born, twins, that were born with cerebral palsy. Tell us a little bit about how that was one of your life experiences, we'd say, I guess. But that has informed you.
Absolutely. I think that when you're a new parent, that first pregnancy you have, you know, you're so excited and it's going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. And for me, the experience was quite the opposite. All the way from the beginning day when the ultrasound tech said, "Oh my goodness, there's a second head." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Mm. And ran in the bathroom and cried. I just couldn't believe it. And 6 weeks of premature birth and you have all the complications and their lungs collapsed and no oxygen to the brain and diagnosis of cerebral palsy for both of them. And this was in 1985, and back then they didn't have a lot of what they have now with what they can do with helping with the prematurity issues. And so, you know, I struggled with that. I'm a person of faith, and you know, it was a rocky road in the beginning to think about, you know, what's the deal here, God? You know, I don't understand why this is happening. And there's a long, long journey story there. But I really finally gave up, waved the white flag after 3 or 4 years of real struggle and decided to just sit back and let God teach me whatever he needed for whatever reasons I didn't know. But their lives were just filled with surgeries and physical therapies and illnesses and hospitalizations and, you know, with two of them. And I often say that being a parent is is your child is your heart walking around out there outside your body, and trying to grasp with that. Both boys taught me so much because they could never, ever aspire. They never spoke a word. They never were able to walk or do anything. But their lessons of patience and endurance and persistence, smiling and laughing all the time, taught me what's really important in life.
You know, I'm reading, as I hear you speak, I'm reading from the information you provided me earlier. And folks, as I say, we're not just listening to somebody here who has some book learning. And I'm quoting you here. I'm the mother of twin sons born in 1985 with severe cerebral palsy, who taught me more about what's important in life than any other teachers I've ever had. What is important in life?
What is important in life is to accept yourself for who you are, with all your limitations, with all of your flaws, and wake up every day knowing this is the day you've been given as a gift. And can I smile at someone today and make their day better? There's no expectation. Weston and Adam, no one could ever expect them with their frailties to do anything for them. And yet they gave of everything they did have, which was a smile, a laugh, anything to show perseverance that they could do what they could do, as little as that was. To me, that was the lesson that I needed to learn, and then be able to share that message with as many people the rest of my life as I possibly can.
It occurs to me that we live in a time and in a culture where achievement and performance are all that count, and the value of human life in its essence is of least importance. So a person who cannot produce, a person who cannot make us proud, who can perform both on the field and off the field to our level of expectation, is worthless.
Yeah.
And yet here you say, here are two people who gave everything they had.
Yes.
But by worldly, we'll say, cultural standards, had nothing to offer us.
Yeah. I remember saying, Weston passed away in when he was 18, 8 or 9 years ago. And, you know, I just had such a sense of relief almost and joy that he could now be out of that body that couldn't run or jump or talk or do anything. And so the part of me that grieved was simply missing him, of course, but knowing that he wasn't trapped in that body anymore. And I remember calling my mom and giving her the news. And of course, she was upset, as you can expect. And I said, but mother, just hold on a second. I couldn't be more proud of Weston right now than if I had just found out he was elected president of the United States, because he's moved out of the physical limitations that he was given as his journey. And I can tell you that those kind of lessons for me stuck. It wasn't something I could not go to school on. It was something that I needed to know and needed to feel and experience, because I want so much for people to understand life happens to us all. That crisis is going to come, that bankruptcy, that divorce, that loss of job, whatever it is, that sick child, it's going to happen. Death in the family. Are you going to be ready for it? Or who you are as a person, have you worked on that enough to be able to stare it down and live to tell about it?
And this is your life's work now. I mean,
you've
spent 30 years in education as an administrator. What do you do currently? What's your day job?
My day job currently is I'm the director at the lab school for Florida State, Florida State University Schools, and been there 7 years and greatly loved that. And really struggled with this being my 30th year. And, you know, the calling is on my life. So I'm having to put that aside at the end of this school year. And I'm really living into this dream and purpose and calling I have now.
As a teacher, lecturer, speaker,
yes.
coach, author, all
Absolutely.
Of that's ahead of you.
All yeah. that.
So
yes.
it ain't over.
No,
this
not
is chapter two.
You know, I remembered.
Three.
Yeah, it's not retirement. It's yeah. repurposement.
Well, if that's the case, then we're just going to have to keep in touch with you because we want to keep tabs on you as you go forward. You know, as you look around, we're going to talk about this going into the next segment here. We're going to take a break, but I want to preface that by saying in the days recently that we've witnessed the happenings with our star quarterback here at Florida State University, Mr. Winston, having done some things that have embarrassed us and have embarrassed his team and his coaches and himself, and has brought national attention in a manner that we would have rather not.
Yes.
But for me, it is it's Shakespearean because it seems to me that we're seeing played out in front of us this drama that you've pointed to in your own life. You know, you were anticipating the birth of these twin children, and you're presented with two boys who then are not going right. to be the star quarterback.
Right.
And yet you found a way. It took some time, mm-hmm. but you found a way to find even joy in that. And I want to find out how you did that, because I think there's a lot of us this morning that are very concerned about Jameis Winston, probably more so than we should be, but certainly need to be concerned about ourselves
yeah.
in that
yeah.
same manner. So we'll take this break. Folks, I appreciate you staying with us. We have Dr. Lynn Wicker sitting in with us in studio talking about her book, Raising Kids That Succeed, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Go with the pros at SS Performance Group. Today's engines demand the highest precision from highly skilled technicians able to get the most from your car and keep it in top performance. That's SS Performance Group. Foreign and domestic, SS Performance Group is legendary among car owners who demand more.
I'm Ernest Sims. I know about going pro. For your car's best performance, go with the pros at SS Performance Group.
In their new location, 431 Capital Circle Southwest, call 575-0259. Online at SS Performance Group, LLC.
So here we are, folks. Glad you've stayed with us through the hour. We've got Dr. Lynn Wicker talking about how we can go through life and face tragedies and heartbreak and whatever that looks like. And some of us seem to have had more than our share. Some of us seem to live a charmed life and nothing bad ever happens. I think that that's probably not true, because I think that some of us are more transparent than others. I've never met anybody, and I mean, I'm almost 60 years old. I turned 59 in May, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever met anybody who hasn't had some kind of heartbreaking experience?
Or, no, I don't think so. In various yeah. forms or shapes, it's
Whatever.
Always there.
It's always there. Yeah. So your journey includes that personally. Now, you have another child,
yes.
a daughter.
Yeah, Lindsay. She's 24, graduated from Florida State. She's doing great.
So she was your first born?
No, she came 5 years later.
After
yes.
the boys. Okay. Mm-hmm. Curious then how your life experiences have informed you as a parent with Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
How much different you may have been with her, or was it a challenge since the two boys were had so many special needs, and that's demanding,
yeah.
right, in and of itself,
yeah.
and to be able to accommodate Lindsay over
yeah.
here.
Yeah, it was a process for sure. And are there things I would love do-overs about? You betcha. But having her turn out the way she did, she's just an amazing person, so confident, you know. I think a lot of that was she kind of watched my journey. There wasn't so much about that I did explicitly with her, but she watched my struggle. She grew up watching the successes that came, even in the face. So, you know, there's hope out there. They do watch us, right? Mm. They're watching how we handle life experiences. Mm. So even though I'd maybe like a couple of do-overs on some things and raising her with her life being so different, I think it speaks to the power of example, mm-hmm. that they're watching us even when we don't think they are.
Mm-hmm. And with that, I'll segue into talking about this topic that has been on everybody's minds and has been all through the media and social media included, of course. When we think of Jameis Winston, and if you could have him for 5 minutes, what would you say to him?
You know, I really have given that some thought. I'm a huge football fan, and I just
I
love,
would never have
yeah,
guessed that.
Yeah, I just love the sport. I just love it. You know, if I could sit down with Jameis for 5 minutes, I would want him to first tell me who he believes himself to be. Huh. Not as the FSU quarterback, but you as a person, Jameis. Who do you believe yourself to be? When you're quiet and you're sitting alone, what are those inner voices telling you who you are? What are your I am statements? Huh. Fill in the blank. And I might even ask him to write down those I ams, because who you tell yourself you are, who you believe yourself to be, that's who you are. That is who you are. That's the role, that's the script that you act out. Mm-hmm. And I think until you really understand in your quiet moments who your inner voice tells you you are, mm-hmm. what your real worth and value is, then it doesn't really matter what anybody else's expectations of you are. You will always live those things out. Mm. There's a quote that I try and live by and try and share as much as I possibly can. That is, you will never outperform your own self-image. Mm. Mm. And that doesn't mean perform on the football field. Obviously, his image of himself as an athlete is very, very positive,
well
very,
developed.
Very good, very well mm-hmm. developed.
And that's what we loved about
it. That's what you love, right?
Yeah.
So whether it's him or anyone else you're talking about, you'll never outperform your own self-image. You can't. You'll stop yourself. You'll sabotage yourself. Mm. And if you don't believe that you're worthy, personally worthy of the successes that you're experiencing, you will literally sabotage yourself.
Did you catch what Charlie Ward said earlier this week about Jameis?
No.
He said, he's my son. He said, that young man and I have a very strong relationship. It hasn't changed. He's talked with Charlie. Jameis has talked with Charlie at length. And Charlie said, hey, he knows. It's not good.
Yes.
And he knows he's got to fix this.
Yes.
He doesn't know how.
Yes.
To fix it.
Yeah.
And that occurred to me when I look at somebody in that situation. And again, as the father of four, I can think of a number of occasions in each of their lives with tears in their eyes saying, I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you say to the rest of us who then want to pass judgment, because Charlie looked at it and said, Oh no. We're not done here. We're just getting started.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not about judgment at all, because we're all in that same boat. You know, whoever can throw the first stone, go right ahead. Mm. But we all have had those moments. But I think, as you and I were sharing earlier, maybe not on the national stage mm-hmm. where everybody's watching, which makes mm-hmm. it even harder. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is, it's not about judgment. It's about understanding that these concerns and issues about who we are in our head, what we tell ourselves, is going to act itself out.
And there's a question there for me, too, and that is this business of loyalty, mm-hmm. right? If you've disappointed me, Lynn, you know what? I throw you under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm over you. I'm not going to waste any more time on you.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. When they recruited this kid, and he is a kid, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody looked at that. I think they looked at, holy smokes, this guy could win us a national championship. And he did.
Yes.
And now we look at him and say, you lousy scumbag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Okay. Help me.
Yeah.
No, we don't want to help you. Just get out.
Right.
You got people saying he should be dismissed from the team.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Well, again, I am not at all qualified to make that call. I have no comment there.
Yeah.
But I do know that it brings a lot of interest to me, a lot of concern about how we are responding to the situation. There's an old Southern expression, you know, he's the son of a gun, but he's our son of a gun.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't say the real thing, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. But it's about who they are becoming and what I can do to help them get there. Mm. And if we would treat each other more out of that sense of reverence for our humanness and our ability to love each other and put our own pettiness aside, wow, what a shift we would see in our society, our culture, how we interact with each other. Mm. And I just can't underscore that enough, that is the message of embracing and loving even when we're smelly, even when there's not much redeeming qualities about us. And definitely, as I learned from my boys, even when there's not one thing that they can do for me.
Mm. The book is entitled Raising Kids That Succeed. Dr. Lynn Wicker, our guest this morning, the author, educator, coach, speaker, and very enjoyable person. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
Folks, this is what we like to do. Real cool people doing real cool things right here in Tallahassee. It's what we're all about. So you join us again next Saturday morning. We'll be here looking for you. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week, find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.